This Tuesday night, April 7th, TCM is going to air 5 documentaries about some legendary Hollywood figures. James Stewart, Spencer Tracy, Henry Fonda, Katharine Hepburn, and Humphrey Bogart. The people who made those documentaries are my next guests, Joan Kramer and David Healy, who not only have made those documentaries, but written about their experience working with and making bios of these legends and many others in a book that's coming out next week. It's called In the Company of Legends. Joan and David, welcome to the Big 550 KTRS.
Thank you, Paul. Good to be here.
Thank you, Paul. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you. Joan, I want to start with you because I'm interested in process at all times in every interview, and I want to know, what was the process in getting the first big star to agree to sit down and be profiled for a major documentary?
Well, the first big star for a national program, you know, David and I did some local programs with some pretty big stars. But you want to know about the national programs, which started with the two Fred Astaire shows?
Mm-hmm.
The first big star we needed to land after Fred Astaire said that he wouldn't do it was, we knew we had to have Ginger Rogers. And I had written a letter to her, to her home in Oregon. She had a ranch in Oregon. And I got a very fast no. And I somehow instinctively had booked people so often before, when I worked for the Dick Cavett Show, etc., that I knew this needed David to take over. And I said, David, this needs your voice. You've got a British accent, you're a director, and you're a man. You have to call her.
Uh-huh. And take it from there, David. What happened next?
Well, Joan is the phone person. She's very good at smoothing on the phone, and once she gets you on the phone, you rarely can escape. It's not my Uber, but I can do it when I have to do it, and I knew Joan was right in this case. What had happened was that Astaire had given us his permission to do the shows, but he didn't want to appear on them. So we knew we had to have Ginger. But Ginger was fed up with talking about Fred. She felt that she was a star in her own right. She'd got an Oscar for Kitty Foyle. But whenever people interviewed her, the first question was always about Fred. Mm. So her first reaction was no. We had to get her off that position. And it took a couple of phone calls and quite a lot of schmoozing on my part, which I've learned to do if I have to. And eventually we persuaded her by saying, we don't want you to talk about Fred. We want you to talk about what it was like for you to do those dances. What would it like to dance on those shiny fours in high heels? What it was like to rehearse? What it was like in those new gowns that were just created moments before you got on the dance floor? And in the end, she said yes.
What she actually said, Paul, I will share with you. David won't. One time, I was in the room when he talked to her, and at one point I saw him blush a little bit. And when he got off the phone, I said, what did she say? And he said, she said, you're British. You're quite charming, young man.
Uh-huh.
And all I could say was, I told you so.
Yeah, there's that classic line about Ginger Rogers, that while Fred Astaire was brilliant, she did everything he did, but backwards and in high heels.
Exactly.
She was remarkable. There's no doubt about it.
Did you ever do a profile of her?
No, we would have loved to.
Why not?
Nobody would give us the money to do a show about Ginger Rogers.
Oh,
it's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
It's amazing how often we were turned down when we had huge stars waiting to be done.
Including Cary Grant.
Cary Grant? You couldn't get money for a Cary Grant bio?
Would you believe that?
No.
Neither did we.
Now, Cary Grant's name actually comes up someplace else in the book, and that is when you had Johnny Carson essentially as the host and, I guess, interviewer of an hour-long piece, maybe it was longer, that you did on Jimmy Stewart.
90 minutes, yeah.
90 minutes. And didn't Carson say to you, I'm the wrong guy for this, get Cary Grant.
Exactly. And he said, he'll get him. And David and I were so depressed because...
Well, we did. First of all, landing Johnny Carson was huge. He didn't do anything but the Tonight Show, as you know, except occasionally he did the Oscars. He didn't do anything else. So to get him to agree to do a television program about Jimmy Stewart was a major coup. And we were at his house. He invited us to his new house in Malibu, and he showed us around the house. And then he said, I've just got something I want to share with you. I don't think I'm the right person to do this. And you can imagine we almost fell on the floor.
Yeah.
Joan, pick it up.
So after I regained a bit of composure from that little jolt, big jolt, He said to me, after all, you just did a program about Spencer Tracy, which Katharine Hepburn hosted. She not only knew him, but they worked in movies together. I know Jimmy, and he's a friend, but I've never worked with him except when he comes on my program. And he gave me a little time by that little speech to regain my voice, which I don't often lose, I might add. And I said to him, Johnny, Katharine Hepburn hosting a program about Spencer Tracy was unique, but we can't replicate that. What we want with you is that you represent every man out there who's ever enjoyed a Jimmy Stewart movie, only you happen to be among the lucky ones who became his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he nodded, and he said, yes, but I think you still think you'd be better off with Carrie. And David, when we left, said to me, David, go ahead.
Well, I said, Cary Grant, that's amazing. Cary Grant doesn't do television. If Johnny could land Cary Grant on television, this would be another major coup. But the big problem is we've got two big stars, and the show is supposed to be about Jimmy Stewart, not about Cary Grant.
Right.
So he could. This will be a case where the host could overshadow the person that we're trying to profile.
And viewers might feel a little ripped off that there wasn't more about Cary Grant.
Exactly. It was one of those terrible dilemmas that we were in.
On top of which, we weren't positive at the moment, at that very moment, that Johnny wasn't maybe testing us to see how much we really wanted him. After all, he seemed very, you know, he was always shy, down to earth with us. And never, by the way, cold and aloof, which he had the reputation for being.
Uh-huh.
Never. We never saw that side of Johnny Carson at all. But at any rate, we wondered if maybe he was testing us. And we kept saying, well, you know, Cary Grant's never going to do this, and we really want you, and blah, blah. He said, let me call Cary and see what he says.
Fast forward to the next morning.
After
a restless night, by the way.
My phone rang in my hotel room in Los Angeles, and it was Johnny. Well, I called Cary, and I was told by the housekeeper that he's out of town doing that one-man show he does about his career at colleges. He won't come on my show, but he'll go to colleges and do this sort of retrospective of his life and career for the college kids. He said, and he won't be back for several weeks. So, I guess you're stuck with me.
Oh, darn.
And I remember, again, speechless I became, and I said after a moment of, I couldn't believe what I heard, because what David and I thought was that Johnny is going to go wandering around calling every big star he knows to try to replace himself.
Yeah.
If Cary Grant said no, right?
Yep.
And so we could be sitting around for months, which we didn't have the time nor the budget to do. So at any rate, when he said that, I had to again regain my consciousness, and I said to him, Johnny, you have no idea how happy I am to be so stuck with you. Well, fast forward, do you want to hear the rest of this or not?
Absolutely.
Well, fast forward about 2 weeks, it was Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving long weekend, on Sunday night after Thanksgiving, there was a newsflash on television, Cary Grant dead, in Davenport, Iowa, at one of those events he was on the way to do.
Oh, wow.
The next morning, Johnny called me on a Monday morning, and I said, you've beaten me to it. I'm so sorry. I mean, I talked to Cary Grant once or twice in the past, but I didn't know him, and you were a friend, and I'm so sad, like the rest of the world is sad, because I was such a fan. And he said, Joan, I hope you're sitting down, because I have to share with you what I wanted to say to you when you just picked up the phone. I said, okay, I'm sitting down. He said, I wanted to say, I asked Cary Grant to host your show and he dropped dead. I said, Johnny, that's not funny. And he said, yes, it is.
Yeah. It's a little bit funny.
A little bit funny.
Yeah.
You have a dark sense of humor.
And so ironic that he had a relationship with Cary Grant where he could actually make this phone call to him, but couldn't get him to appear on his own show.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Cary Grant told me on the phone, I talked to him, if I ever did television, it would open the floodgates. I don't do anybody's show because then I'd have to do everybody to not play favorites.
It's the Big 550 KTRS, Paul Harris talking with Joan Kramer and David Healy, whose documentaries about Jimmy Stewart, Katharine Hepburn, Henry Fonda, Spencer Tracy, and Humphrey Bogart will air back-to-back this Tuesday night on TCM, and they write about all these experiences, like the ones they're sharing with us here today, in a book that'll be out on April 16th called In the Company of Legends. We were talking about Carson in relation to the Jimmy Stewart bio you did of him. How did you find Jimmy Stewart. I don't mean how did you go out and get him to be on the show, but when you actually met him and were talking to him and interviewing him, how was he?
Let me give you the first reaction. We had an appointment to go to his home in Beverly Hills on Roxbury Drive, which was the houses on Roxbury Drive, by the way, full of stars, no fences, no cars. It's probably different today.
Yeah.
We went and we met him. We met his wife, Gloria, who was very, very nice, and she said, Jimmy will be down in a minute. We were waiting in the living room, and I heard somebody coming down the stairs, and sure enough, it was Jimmy Stewart. But it was this old, bent, gray man.
Frail.
I thought to myself, oh dear. And he didn't have a strong voice. He said, hello, nice to meet you. And we chatted for a while. And when we left, I said to Joan, I don't see how he can host a two-hour show.
I mean, carry a two-hour show.
Yeah, how he can carry a two-hour show. Yes, not host it, sorry. But I said, I don't know what to do. We've sold this idea to PBS, and we've got the money on the basis of him being the show. And we've got Johnny to host it. I don't know what we're going to do. But we didn't have a plan B, so we just pressed ahead. When we scheduled to interview him and Gloria one morning, was a few weeks later, Joan?
Yes.
We're sitting in his living room, and he's upstairs with makeup. And I hear him coming down the stairs again. This time, he's wearing his toupee. This time, he's made up. This time, he's wearing his sports jacket. And into the room walks James Stewart, the movie star.
Ah, yeah, he remembered. Okay, well, the camera's going to be on today. I've got to be that Jimmy Stewart.
And he was remarkable.
And the same thing happened 10 years late. No, what was it?
A few years earlier, actually.
5 years later,
actually,
something like that?
Yes.
Same thing happened with Henry Fonda.
Yes,
wow.
He just completed On Golden Pond, and we were doing our first program about Katharine Hepburn, and he'd agreed to be interviewed.
It was 5 years earlier, sorry.
Yes.
6 years earlier, sorry.
We were setting up outside his home in Bel Air, and Joan and I, as always, had prepared a list of questions, and while the camera and the crew were setting up, he came out, and I said, oh, good morning, Mr. Fonda, and of course I had to spend some time chatting with him, but I didn't want to blow the interview. However, I said, how do you feel about my asking you, telling you what a few of the questions we want to ask you? I wanted him to get his thoughts together so there's not too much umming and erring on camera. And he said, fine. So I said, can you tell me the first time you met Katharine Hepburn? I don't think I've got anything to say about that. Is there anything different about the way you two approach a role? I don't think so. What was the first movie of hers you ever saw? Oh, I don't recollect. I went through all the questions.
I was standing 2 feet away, and it was a cold, brisk morning in Los Angeles. I was sweating bullets.
not a single response from him.
And I thought to myself, what the heck are we going to do when the camera rolls, and he doesn't have anything to say, and he just worked with this woman?
So the crew says, we're ready, David. I said, Mr. Fonda, okay, please take a seat. And I said, if you don't mind, I'll ask you the same questions again. If you have nothing to say, it's fine, but if something pops into your mind, just let me know what it is.
David had no other choice. What are we going to do there otherwise?
Right, yeah.
Can you tell me the first time you met Katharine Hepburn? And suddenly he comes alive.
I was taken by her, struck by her from the first time I ever saw her on film. She was unique and, I mean, different person.
Wow. It was almost as if these talented actors knew, don't blow it in rehearsal.
Yes.
Save it for the camera.
That's right. You've heard it before in show business many times, I'm sure, Paul. Lights, camera, action, and there is the movie star.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about Katharine Hepburn for a moment, because I know that there were times that she was reluctant to talk about various aspects of her life. And I'm curious, when you first approached her to do not only the Spencer Tracy one, but then later the one about her, if she said, I'd rather not.
We didn't approach her for the Spencer Tracy show.
We had done this program about her. This is another long story we won't get into right now. We're called Starring Katharine Hepburn. And like Fred Astaire, she didn't appear on it, but she gave her permission for us to do it. And she was very happy with it. She pretended she'd never seen it, but we know from our spies she had seen it. And she said, come over, let's have tea together. So we socialized with her a little bit. And then one morning, not long after that, Joan's phone rang.
Hi, it's Kate Hepburn. Well, you know, when you pick up a phone and you're not ready for that voice, it's a little shocking.
Yeah, I would guess.
I remember saying something really, you know, mundane, like, just to tune in. Oh, good morning, Ms. Hepburn, how are you? You know, something idiotic, right? I mean, just something from getting my act together.
Yep.
So she said, without telling me how she was, she said, now that I have friends at public television, why don't we do a show together about Spencer?
Oh.
Well, Paul, I don't know where I got the guts, but first of all, I was so blown away by this that I, again, I know I keep saying to you, I was speechless. Anyway, I said to her, Miss Hepburn, somebody's on my other line. Can I just put you on hold for a second and tell them that I'll call them back? Sure. Well, I put her on hold. Don't ask me how I had the guts to put Catherine Hepburn on hold.
Yeah.
There it was. But anyway, and I screamed across the hall, David, get in here right now. And David came into my office, very calm, as he always is. And he said, what's the matter? And I said, Catherine Hepburn is on my phone, on hold, and she just asked us to do a show about Spencer Tracy. And very calmly, David said to me, ask her if she'll host it. So I pushed the button without thinking too hard because I couldn't keep her on hold too long. There was no debate here, so I picked up the line and I said, Miss Hepburn, would you be willing to host such a program on Spencer Tracy? What the hell do you think I'm talking about? Come to lunch tomorrow. Of course I should host it.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is a time when she'd never spoken publicly about Spencer.
Yeah. Remarkable.
So it was really something. Now, when we did the show about her, we, you know, what happened there. I mean, David, you want to tell her what, tell Paul what happened, how we got that show.
Well, we were in the process of finishing the show about Henry Fonda that Jane was hosting. And it was for TNT. And it was at the time when Ted and Jane were going out together before
Ted Turner and Jane.
Ted Turner,
yep.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Jane were going out together before they married.
They were actually engaged, David.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, they were engaged. And we were at an event at UCLA that was honoring Ted. And it was the day after we'd done the narration recording with Jane and the film. We'd done the filming with her for the show. So we were waiting in the cocktail area for them to arrive. We see them in the distance, and they see us, and they come over and say hello, and we have drinks together. And Jane says, you know Catherine, don't you, very well? And we say, yes, we did a show about her. Well, why don't you do a show about her? I said, well, we did one. Do another one. And you and Ted, it can go on TNT, can't it? And Ted said, of course, darling.
And Jane said, and I'll host it.
Wow.
That was the fastest commission for a show we ever got.
The next morning, we started hearing from TNT people that we've got the show, and when are you going to start, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, it happened so fast, you wouldn't believe it.
So, of course, then we had to approach Kate.
Yep.
By which time, we knew her pretty well, so we went over to see her, and she said, so why do you want to do another show about me? Because I'm so fascinating?
Uh-huh.
We said, yes, of course. She said, well, maybe, but I don't need Jane to host it. I can do it myself.
She says, I like Jane, I know Jane, but I'm alive. I can talk for myself. Why does she have to tell my story?
Uh-huh.
Well, but Paul, we then were stuck. You know, number one, Ted was engaged to Jane.
Yeah.
Calling up the Turner people and telling them that Kate does not want their boss's fiancé to host this program was not going to be a good thing.
No.
So we made a decision right off the bat. The first person we have to call is Jane. So I called Jane. They were in Montana at Ted's ranch at the time. And I called Jane and I said, you know, we talked to Kate and she, you know, she wants to host her own show. And she wants it to be a little bit out of the mold of the TNT shows, which are usually an hour long, including the one on Henry Fonda.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants it to be longer. And Jane said, you have no idea how relieved I am. I'm trying to plan my wedding to Ted. I didn't know how I was going to fit this in.
Wow.
And she's absolutely right. You can't do justice to her life and career in an hour. And I said, well, you know, the folks at TNT are going to be a little unnerved. You know their cookie-cutter formula, and I don't know that they're going to take too easily to this. And she said, tell them I told you it's fine, and I'll tell Ted. It'll be very simple.
Wow.
I said, okay.
I love it. Just one of the great stories you will find in the new book, In the Company of Legends, which is out on April 16th, and this Tuesday night, April 7th, TCM, part of Turner's empire, or was anyway, will be airing five of Joan and David's documentaries, James Stewart, A Wonderful Life, The Spencer Tracy Legacy, a tribute by Katharine Hepburn, Fonda on Fonda, Katharine Hepburn All About Me, and Bacall on Bogart. I've already got my DVR set to record all of those. I look forward to those and the book. And thank you so much for sharing all the stories today.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Joan Kramer and David Healy here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.